Lord, well, we say we're just going to pray right now, but Lord, we know that we've been in fellowship with you this whole time, from cooking to eating, and just this time of opening up and sharing our hearts. So, Father, I pray that you would meet us, continue to meet us here, Lord, and speak to our hearts, settle us. Lord, we need to hear from you and feed on your faithfulness. So I just pray that you would speak to our hearts, and Lord, just encourage each of us here, and you know, as we go, when we go, Lord, that our eyes are fixed on you, and the author and finisher of faith. So just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I got asked to teach and share today, and so I said, sure. And then I got some weird text back. I didn't know what that meant. But anyway, so I've been reading. I don't know when I started, but when I got my Bible, I started reading through from Genesis again, because I'm hard-headed and thought God put the book in order. So I always... One of the greatest things that I notice and just see with a lot of people, and we're just going to be talking about a few things, and I just want to share a couple of verses. One of the things is it always just happens to seem like everybody's saying that these certain people have these great callings, or there's something great about this individual that God chose to use them. I don't think that's true. I think that every man that God used is just like it says in Elijah, a man like similar faith. He tells us in the New Testament, he's no respecter of persons, correct? And so when we look at things, we see mighty men, we see a mighty God using humans. And we try to elevate and lift them up, and we bring them to a point, but like you were just saying, sometimes they're not there. Someone you looked up to, a believer or something, and they're taken away. Isaiah came to the point when King Uzziah died, and it said, I saw the Lord. You know, that there's times when humans being used by God can become the object of our faith rather than the God that's using them. And so, how do we get, well, it's not a how-to, it's just, so I was just kind of trying to think, so I just, as I was reading through, and every time I read through it, every time I read through the Bible, there's a consistency, the Lord chose me. He's God, I'm not, I can't, He can, and He's willing. And every time I go through the Scriptures, I just see more and more opportunities that you see that left to our own were utter failures. And it's only God who saves. It's only God who comes in and moves and does the work. In Genesis, I'm just sum the book up. It's the beginnings. It's all the beginnings of everything God created to do. Right? In the beginning, God created. Of course, man pops in and they blow it. And now the rest of it is God's restoration of His creation. And so, but in Genesis, you kind of have this whole story of it's God creating. God's doing a work. Started, changed, flood. Well, started garden, started, ousted, next, flood. Not that God's plans didn't work. He already knew it wasn't going to work. But He shows us different ways that mankind don't work. It's many different ways of showing you how to do it wrong. And because there's only one right way. There's only one right answer. And it's Him. And so Exodus, we hear, actually we really don't even hear, we just see a bunch of people as slaves that God chose a man out in the middle of the wilderness that to speak through that He wanted to deliver. Because He loved them and He had promises for them. You can go back to Adam. And then, so you have all these wonderful, great Christians, Israelites coming out of Egypt. They had a perfect life. They had no problems. Nothing to worry about. You guys should be saying that doesn't sound familiar.
No.
But the truth is they didn't, because they had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day that rained down manna for to feed them every day. Even though it was dry, weary for 40 years, it says that we were told by the end that their clothing didn't wear out. Their sandals didn't wear out. So even the things that we don't, think about, God provided and took care of. But so you have a creative God, then you have a delivering God, and then you have the fun books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I know everybody loves them. The law. Now, different people get different misunderstandings about the law, but when I read Deuteronomy at the end, it says, when you fail and you do these things, I'm going to do this. So God put the law there knowing that they were going to fail. Once again, there's another thing that's saying man can't do it. But now you get through Deuteronomy and everything, and we know that all God's deliverance is through Egypt and everything. How does he say he saved them? Do you know? With a mighty and outstretched arm. Right? To pull them out of bondage. And he didn't just save them from bondage. He saved them from themselves in the wilderness. He brought them to the place where they said, everything you say, we'll do it. Big mistake. Instead of just saying, I want to trust you to show me. Right? So we get all these things and these problems, and then a man's raised up to lead them for 40 years. And that's all they looked at. And that's all they looked at until you get to Joshua. And so the man who they see as leading them just got removed out of their way. And just taken out a godly man. Remember, the man that's led them was a man who screwed up and wasn't even able to lead them in. Which is important to remember, because there is no one man, no man, except for one man, and it's the man Christ Jesus, that can lead you in to the promised life that he has for you. Just like they're getting ready to go into a promised land that God had promised them from the beginning, we've been given a promised life. And so it's important for us to remember that it's possible that the man in front of you that's given you all these things might make mistakes. If you look in the mirror, you do it every day. But we have this tendency to lift people up and lift people up and try to put our trust in a man. Actually, they said, you go to God, you talk to God, because it's too fearful for me. And that's one of the first steps to realize is don't let anyone to go. It's good to have prayer, people praying for you. But the truth is it's to be willing to stand before the living God and seek him yourself. But that's another story. So we come to the book of Joshua. And they've been let out, and they're getting ready to go in, but their leader's gone. And so God's raising up another man. But the cool thing is in Hebrews it tells us that even this man couldn't enter them into their rest. Right? So even Joshua, Moses, the man of the law, couldn't take them in. The law is not going to take you into a promised life of joy and peace with the Lord. The law can't do it. It's by grace and by truth and trust in him and relying on him. So God starts working with this man, and I just wanted to read a little bit of Joshua 1. That's all right. If not, well, I'll read a lot of it. And I think it's important because even if it's not a death, there's times in our lives that we have brothers and sisters that can let you down and things like that. So it's very important to not put humans on a pedestal, even though we do. I know you, those who have wives already have them there.
You're my idol, Scott.
Without Orin, okay, Ken, I can't do nothing.
But even in little things, we don't realize it, but we'll lift people up and then we can let down. And anyway, all this is back and forth. There's we enter into, Joshua is only one of two men that enter into the promised land that was of war age, fighting age, of all the children of Israel from 20 to 50 that left. So we're 20 years later, 40 years later, forgive me, and all the men died off, and you have a new generation of people, but two, Joseph and Caleb. So he's in his 80s.
You mean Joshua and Caleb?
Joshua, I'm sorry, I keep saying Joseph. Joshua and Caleb. So we have this man. Why? And I think it's a good lesson. Why does it become Joshua? Why doesn't it become anybody else? Well, Joshua was one of the 12 spies that was originally sent into the land. And Caleb. And then there were 10 other, right? And the 10 guys gave a really good report of how big the enemy was. And two guys gave a really good report of how awesome everything God explained to them before that they could try to explain the beauty of. And the people went with fear rather than faith. Right? They feared the giants rather than believing and trusting in. And even seeing this giant fruit, it says it took them two to carry it on a grapevine. Not a vine, but just a bundle of grapes. You figure two men with a pole between them carried. That's what they brought back. Do you see the beauty in the fruit the Lord has for you? Oh, there's giants in the land. What's your focus? Joshua is here today because he gave a report of faith. That even in the midst of seeing giants and in the midst of seeing the battles ahead, he trusted and knew that what the Lord promised, the Lord would deliver. And he always tried to encourage the other ones, even though they didn't listen. So we come to this place now, and there's other things in there, and I'm making it brief. But there's just a few things in the book of Joshua here, the beginning, that the Lord has to continue to remind Joshua, and I think we need to continue to hear it. And there's areas that it's helpful to hear. But so Joshua 1 says, after the death of Moses, of the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, first off, the Lord's not inhibited by someone passing away. He's still speaking. And he still wants to speak to someone. It actually says, today, if you will hear his voice. God's speaking to all that will listen. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. I don't think he needed to know that. He knew that, right? Well, actually, no one saw Moses die. He went out and God buried him, we're told. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to a land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. And this is important. Verse 3, every place that your sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Do you remember what God said to Abram when him and Lot had the argument? Anybody remember? He said, everywhere that you look and everywhere you step, I've given to you. Right? I believe that's true for each and every one of us here today. And if we can come to a place and understand by faith that it's a true statement, then it's something, well, you'll see the Lord. And that is every place that the sole of your footsteps has been given to you by God. Do you understand? Like right here, right now, the seat you're sitting in, this is, you're here because it's been given to you by God. What do I mean by that? What do I mean when I say it's been given to you? Just like Adam and Eve had the opportunity when they were given to tend the garden. Put them in the garden and said, it's yours. Right? So when you understand that something's been given to you, first, it's a gift, should be appreciative, but outward circumstances, the giants and everything else, where you have your feet planted, where you are, it's the place where God has settled you and put you for that very moment. At all times. Because no one else can be in the spot you're seated in now. Or where you walk. You take that place, and it's your opportunity to shine and be what God's called and just walk in that truth of that. Because if we understand that, okay, I take this step, oh, well, I'm here. It's my opportunity to live the life that I believe that God wants me to live from this spot or to allow Him to live, to work. And it might be wait. It might be patient. Trust that the Lord's going to raise up someone else. I don't know what that is. It's going to change all time. There's not one battle that's the same in the book of Joshua. There's never the exact same battle technique, strategy. Anytime they tried to do something that worked in the past, again, it failed. And whenever they try to do anything outside of the Lord, it fails. But to me, it's a very, like, God's not giving me anything. I don't have any direction in my life. Well, where you're standing right now is a beautiful place for you to enjoy the relationship and be thankful for the land that you've been given, the life, where you are right now. And remember, it's the Lord who gave it to you. I didn't make this step on my own. I didn't do it on my own. You didn't do it. It's the Lord that's gotten me to this place. And so I think it's very important, as he said to Moses, it's always the truth for everyone. Wherever you go, the Lord has given it to you. Now, what do you take and do with the gift that's been given to you? That's a choice. But as I first realized that it is from the Lord, that's a start. Then it can start saying, okay, Lord, what do I do with this little portion? How do I set? Do I witness? Do I just praise? But first I got to say thank you for giving me a place that I can go from, that you can work in and move in. So verse 4 says, from the wilderness and the, well, we'll skip that, which is the perimeters. And if you ever see a notebook of all the perimeter of what God's promised, and then you see a map and overlay it with all the land that they took, you'll always find that it's a very good picture of the spiritual life that God's promised us in the end, what we've entered into by faith. Because there's lots of spots missing that they never took.
That's true.
And so it's important not to tear down, but just to realize that everything God has promised and offered is available. That we have to walk in, enter into that position of faith, trust in Him, and it's yours. Now, it doesn't mean it's not a battle, because they're getting ready then to go to a lot of battles. Leaving the wilderness, a land where you're under the law, going in by to a place where God's winning the battles, it's a battle. And we'll see at the end, as we get into Judges, we're not going all the way through today, but it, Judges starts with, and they did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Back here, they're looking at a man with telling them what to do. God's trying to get to a man to show him what to do so you can win the battles. And that is, no man, verse 5, shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sound familiar?
Yep.
And so I know, like, if you look at times and depending on your end times theology and all these things, seems like things are speeding up really quick and come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. I mean, it seems that way. And I'm not disagreeing, but how do we, as followers of the living God, ones who believe in the Lord, how do we go through these days? We take steps knowing that the Lord's given us that land, which gives us the confidence and the strength to say that I don't need to hold back. I don't need to hide who I am. I need to stand still, just like they did, and see the salvation of the Lord. And my first salvation is in my own mind, where I have peace that I know it's my place. And so I can be settled in where I'm at because I trust the Lord brought me to Himself, to whatever that ends up being. So He says, no man shall be able to stand before you, and I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're never alone. There's no step that you can take that God has left you. If Christ is in you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I won't leave you as an orphan. Behold, I am with you always. So if you are carrying around the maker of the universe, the creator of all of your souls within you, because you've become the temple with legs rather than a building, that He can walk out and take possess the land, so that ultimately the land was put in a place so that it could be a place of worship, so that those who didn't know God could see how God blesses His people, and that they can come and see what's going on and be introduced to the God you know. That's the ultimate life for all of us. So His next word after He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to the law of Moses, my servant command you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Well, aren't we told that He has a plan for us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, that you will prosper? Right? Is that Jeremiah?
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Right.
Plans give you hope and a future.
Right. And then right after that, that you'll prosper. But so there's promises in here that you can have a prosperous life. I'm not talking about finances. I'm not talking about anything other than taking over the life the Lord's put before you in a relationship with Him, walking out daily knowing that He's in me, He will never leave me, He will never forsake me. And all I have to do is be of good cheer. Aren't we to be thankful? Always. Pray without ceasing. You know, and all these are New Testament truths in the Old Testament. It's right there. There's nothing new under the sun. God has not placed us here as orphans. He's not placed us here in a place where He leaves us here to our own. He's put us in a place where He can dwell within us, so He can freely move and have His being within you. He brings us to other believers so to agree and build one another up. He takes you into the world to be a light. Takes you around your family to feel like you haven't really entered into any of that yet, so you got to start all over. That was a joke. Because they point out your problems. Anyway, so... But so
the prophet is not without honor except at his own house.
Well, so I feel like a lot of times we're so stressed out. Like, what does God want me to do? Why, you know, what's the next move? What? And wow, look at all these believers that just don't get it right. And I don't, you know.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I like it be the way to say that, what you're saying specifically, that really helped me, is if you have the guide, you have guidance.
Yes.
If you trust him.
Right. But there's
you have Christ, you have the guide. And he is guidance. And you trust him for it. You just do like you say, and every place you put your foot.
Thank
he's
you,
given it.
Because he wants us to live a thankful life.
And if you're wrong, he'll stop y'all.
Yeah,
believe me.
He can knock you on your back so you don't move your feet very long, right?
That's right.
But that was
he
your
can
place.
Your leg.
But that was your place. That was where he placed your...
I placed my foot right down there and he broke my leg.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad he did.
So,
what a blessing.
And I had a head-on collision with the guy. A young fella fell asleep. I was 1 mile away from my home coming from Philadelphia. He came into my line and he hit me head-on. I was 1 mile away from my house coming to my wife's birthday party at home. And everything stopped. Next thing you know, I was in the hospital. But I'm still here because I'm sorry, but I guess the Lord wants me to say this. My truck, can I share this? I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just feel like I need to. I was going to a job, a vacuum system, and I ended early. And I was so proud of myself because normally when I'm coming from my job, I'm late to whoever's party it is. But I was right on time for the accident.
Different party.
Coming down Route 1, first of all, I made a wrong turn up in Kennett Square. I made it kind of Conshohocken or whatever it is. And I got on 76, and it put me a whole half an hour ahead out of my way. And as you can see here, this accident was like within 3 minutes I would have avoided it. But because I made the wrong turn, if I had made the right turn, I would have gone on 95, come home. I would not have even gone through this intersection. About a half an hour before I came to the accident point, some guy, I don't know why, came up behind me flashing his lights. I don't know if it was an angel, I don't know what. I'm thinking, oh, that guy's in an emergency, and he's on his way to the hospital, Jennersville Hospital. And so he goes off the exit, and I thought, that's weird. He didn't go towards the hospital, but he went. But I figured that gave me about 3 seconds. 3 seconds so that I didn't hit the guy in the intersection dead head on, but when I hit him about 500 feet from the intersection, which, and by the way, every one of these jobs that I've gone in this place, my wife's went with me one time, my son's with me one time, my daughters went with me one time. The guy, I had 4 seconds. I really feel bad that I'm interrupting your thing. I just feel like I need to say this. I had 4 seconds to think. I see the guy going through the intersection. I'm thinking, oh, that guy's in a hurry to go north-south. That was second four. Second three was, oh, he's in my lane. Second two was, I pulled out into the where you can lane to turn left. And second one was both airbags off, windshields busted out, side windows busted out, whole side of my passenger side so that the dash was pushed in this far from the back of the seat. Anybody in that seat would have been seriously... I'm out of control, airbags, I don't know what. My thinking was, Lord, please, because I had no control of the truck. Truck went across oncoming traffic. Somebody told me, a witness told me that a truck, I don't remember, had just passed, and I'm in the ditch. I can't get my seatbelt off. My keys, which were always, and they're never there now anymore. They were stuck in my seatbelt. I could not get my seat. The airbags were, you know, it is powder true, but they were smoking because it's an explosion. I got half a tank of gas in my truck. I still at this point don't know what's happened. For some reason, I was able to get my, I just pulled it out. My door opened. It was the only door. The driver's side door was the only door that would open. I was able to open, get out of the truck, cry. I guess I was in semi-shock. You broke your leg. I could have died that day. You know, every time I go to the intersection, I think, well, Lord, you're not done with me because I'm still alive. And number two, I'm not a paraplegic. But the only place in my cab of my pickup that was not crunched was where I was. This whole side of my truck was demolished. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break.
No, that's the point. So I don't want to be too much longer.
It's 10:15, so if
people
have to split, you know.
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to be over at 10, but we went a little long today, you know. Already out.
We're getting back into practice of everything. We were off a month.
But I don't want to move, but I'm going to get started to move.
No, the only thing I had to say is one more thing, and that is, if you keep reading here, I just read that verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night, that you observe to do according to all that is written in it. I just think, one of the men's breakfasts on Wednesdays I'll go to, everybody talks about how, you know, they like to do their devotions, but when they come home at night, they just want to unwind. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's a battle my wife and I talk about. Like, what are you going to do this evening? Well, when I read this, I think that sometimes that I need to treat my nighttime when I come home from work like I treated my morning when I got up to work. And that is, spend time with the Lord and let Him lead. But that's just a little side note.
I needed that.
Because a lot of it's like, okay, I did my duty today. I did my thing. Now it's time for me to relax, to unwind. Well, what I see is the best thing to unwind is to meditate on the Word. But anyway, so then God says, have I not commanded you? This is a command. Be strong. You talking about lifting? Yeah. No. Be strong and of good courage. It's to have a good attitude, to be thankful, to be seeing the things God's doing, not what the world's doing. To live in a way that you're just grateful. That's one of the things that says, that is walking in the will of God. In Thessalonians, it says, it's the will of God that you rejoice always, you pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's very simple. That's what I was looking for. So when you read this, it should always bring you back to be thankful and be in prayer and just be grateful. I command, be strong, be of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed. Happens every once in a while, doesn't it? We're afraid of what somebody think of us. We're dismayed at what's going on around us. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's where it ends. The Lord is with you wherever you go.
I have little notes for you for that one, so he don't feel so bad.
Oh, I don't feel bad. That's what it's about.
All right. I was reading, then I was listening to the radio after I got done reading my Bible, and this one speaker was talking about going on a elk hunting expedition, and that they hired a guide to take them, and they had to fly into this place. And they flew in, and there were buildings for them to stay in. And they trudged out the next morning, went out and around and up, and saw one elk, didn't get it. Evening was coming, they were heading back, and the one guy says to the guy, he says, well, we can cut half our distance just by going down this path and across straight to the cabin.
And the guy says, well, there's a slight problem with that. Down in that valley is where all the grizzlies are. Would you sooner just go around them or try and go through them?
Or you can go first, and then we'll go around you.
Depends on who runs fastest.
Yeah. And that kind of reminded me of things like he said, and you were saying, sometimes the Lord can be guiding us, but we still want to go our own way. Well, that way's shorter, Lord.
It's easier.
Easier. I don't have to work as hard. Yeah, but the payment for that can really be rough. So, even though sometimes we think the Lord's way is the longest and takes so much time, we don't know what He's protecting us from. That guide was protecting them from the bears by going the long way around.
Earlier when you were saying that, you know, we need to trust the Lord, but we still have to do our part.
Yep.
Let's clarify that we only doing what the Lord is telling us to do.
Yep.
Because if we can't do what we think is our part, because that's what Abraham did,
yep,
and that's why we have trouble in the Middle East to this day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was listening to his wife.
Yeah.
Some of us don't have that problem.
I forgot to turn the recorder off. Nope.
The harp.
Nope, and there's other times in Scripture where God says, listen to her.
I know nothing.
And the hard way is usually my way. And the opposite of what you're sort of saying, it's like, it would have just been easier. God's got it way, and it's a wonderful path, but I've got to screw it up, you know what I mean? I got to go in thinking it's the better way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was all I had to share, because I think for believers, many of us, most of the time, we all think that we're going through something no one else in the room is, which is right off a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like to open up and say, hey, what's going on? And see where the Lord has you. And just, I mean, because we need to open up our hearts. One of the greatest things that we can do is realize that we're here. Each of us has a purpose. We're each part of the body. We each work. We do our part, whatever that is. And it's beautiful. And it's awesome to see the Lord. But one of the greatest things we can do is live in a life knowing that God's with me. If the Holy Spirit has testified to you, your spirit, that you're a child of God, then you can rest in that. And then you can walk from that. You're not still looking for acceptance. You have been accepted. And once I'm there, that's what I need to. That's where I can find courage. That's where I can find strength that I'm accepted in the Beloved.
Mm.
That even though I'm a knucklehead and I'm probably going to do the wrong thing, my heart is towards Him.
Mm.
I desire to please Him. Not going to say, not all the time. I mean, you know, guys understand what I'm not trying to say I'm holy, but I know I'm a saint. Because the Scripture teaches that. But until you realize you are that child, you're always going to be striving and struggling to become something you already are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to have courage and have strength, trust in the Lord, because it comes back to, He told me He'd never leave me nor forsake me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gives me my strength. Not my next step, not my ability to be on my own. None of that. It's that I've been given a gift. And now I can honor Him with it and grow in that. And as we do that, there's no greater calling anyone can do is to live a life of gratefulness and thankfulness to our God who saved us. And that's it. So, shall we pray? And then anybody? Well, Lord, we just do thank You that You don't leave us as orphans. And, Lord, You haven't even left us without answers. You've given us Your Word, but Lord, we know the Word is just to bring us to You. And so, Lord, help us to
be hearing your voice as you speak, Lord, just to be sensitive and open, Lord, but in the quiet times while we're waiting, help us to be strong and of good courage, knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that you love us, and that you have plans of peace for us, to give us a future and a hope. So we thank you, Lord, and Lord, help us to keep the eyes off the giants, but give us faith to keep our eyes on you, and really a gratitude of heart as well, Lord. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.